I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, and we this morning come to the halfway point in our short series on the Lord's Prayer. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and just want to say again how thankful I am for this time to be with you all, and want to greet also any that might be watching on the video as well. So our text this morning is the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. But I'm going to back up and read a few verses from the opening of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. And then I'm going to read a few more verses from chapter 6, following the Lord's Prayer. And there might be a typo in your bulletin that's my fault. It's Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34, not 7. 25 through 34 that I'll read as well, as Jesus talks about not worrying about our daily needs, because our Father knows what we need, and He encourages us to seek first the kingdom. So let's give our attention now once again to the Word of God. I'll begin reading at Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now turn over to chapter 6 and verse 9. I'll highlight that last verse I just read. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. But then here Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, picking up at verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Keep your finger there and turn a little bit further down in that same chapter to verse 25, and I'll read through the end of the chapter. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word, and let's stop and ask for his help and blessing. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would help us now to hunger and thirst for your righteousness and for your truth and for your word. And we pray that you would, as you've promised, that you would fill us and satisfy us. Lord, as we've just sung in Psalm 104, we pray that you would open your hand and give us food, not just the bread that we need to sustain our physical bodies, but give us the bread from heaven, your word, and the word in the flesh, Jesus Christ. We pray also that, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us and take up your sword in our hearts and use your word to do a work in us, to call us to greater faith in our Father, to drive us to Jesus Christ, to build us up and to sanctify us. And so, Lord, help us not to just be hearers of your word. Help us to not just be physically present here, but help us to be, help our hearts to be softened and opened. And let us lay up this word in our hearts and carry it out with faith to your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer this morning, I want to remind you of Jesus' audience as he preaches and teaches about prayer. Who was he speaking to? Well, he's speaking to people, multitudes, crowds of people, including disciples, real people like you and me. And he's teaching them here in the Sermon on the Mount what it looks like to live as children of the Father. How to live by faith in their Father. How to live by prayer. And Jesus knows what it is to do that as a real man, as a real person. And the fourth petition of his model prayer here reminds us that we are real people with real needs. Now this prayer, as we've seen, began at soaring heights, calling upon God to glorify his name and build his kingdom and let his will be done on earth. And then it abruptly here pivots and drops to a simple, basic human need. Jesus asks us to, teaches us to ask the Father for food, for bread to sustain our bodies in which we seek his honor and seek his kingdom, and seek his will on earth. This petition puts us in our place, if you will. And that's a good place. A place of humble dependence on our Father. A place of faith. Daily looking to him. Knowing that all we have are gracious gifts from him. I think it's fascinating that in this model prayer, the model prayer, the prayer of prayers, we are taught by Jesus here to shamelessly and simply acknowledge that we need to eat. We need plain old bread every day. And that is part of our relationship to God as creatures and his children. We never outgrow our need for food. We never cease to need God to sustain our physical bodies. And it's a continual reminder that we are creatures and that we are dependent. We're totally dependent on the goodness and grace of God. It's a reminder of our constant need for physical and spiritual nourishment and that God is the only source. And so Jesus teaches us here, Jesus teaches you to ask your Father for daily bread. And in doing so, he calls you to live with humility and faith and gratitude. And that's what we need to hear together this morning. Children of God, Jesus calls you this morning to look to your Father daily for all your needs. Look to your Father daily for all your needs. Ask him to give you the bread that you need each day. Well, let's consider this more in depth together this morning. And the first lesson that I think the fourth petition has for us is a call to humility. Humility. Look carefully again at the words in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. The first word is give. It's not reward us with bread. It's not pay us with bread because we earned it or we worked for it. We've done something to deserve it because he owes us. It also doesn't say, sell us this day our bread, our daily bread. We will pay for it. We'll give something in return for it. No, the word is simply give. Give us this day. We come as beggars asking God to give us what we don't have and what we don't deserve, what we can't pay for. We come as children totally dependent on our Father's gracious gifts and His care. The second thing I want you to notice is who we ask for bread. Look at verse 9. We ask our Father in heaven for bread. Now you might think, okay, well that's obvious, but it's important. We ask the Father for bread. We don't ask the world. We don't ask the economy, the free market, the soil, the earth, the ecosystem, the sweat of our brow, the skill of our hands. We don't ask the government. We don't ask the rich. No, we ask our Father in heaven. We ask the Creator of the universe. We ask the Redeemer, our Redeemer, for our daily bread. Now, kids, if I asked you, where do you think food comes from? What would you say? The store? The farm? From my parents? From a paycheck? From hard work? From factories? Well, the simple answer the Bible gives to that question that we adults can forget is that food comes from God. Food comes from God. And that's why Jesus teaches us to ask Him for it. If your answer to that question was, it comes from work or from the grocery store or from the refrigerator, that's not necessarily wrong. But those are just means and channels by which God provides food. God is always the ultimate source. He's the one that upholds this universe. He causes the earth to turn. He brings seasons, causes them to come and go. He sends the rain to fall upon the earth. He causes the sun to shine. He gives life and growth to the crops and animals that we eat. He gives us the ability to work, to till the soil, to plant and harvest, to care for animals, to earn wages and exchange them for food that others have harvested and processed. He allows our bodies to digest that food and then have energy from that food and be sustained by that food. God gives food and the means by which that food is provided and acquired and then used by our bodies to sustain life. And friends, that ought to humble us. That ought to cause us to not be proud and think that the bread we have each day is really our achievement. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 16 through 18, Moses warned the people of God, saying, "Don't forget God who fed you in the wilderness with manna. Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth." And Jesus is teaching us something similar here. He's calling us to humility, that we depend entirely on God for our most basic needs. Think about it. No one can live without food. No one can live without God graciously providing food. The strongest guy in the weight room, the greatest athlete on the field, the brightest mind in the university, the most powerful CEO would grow weak and go mad and think of little else after just a day or two without food. And they would soon cease to exist if they had none. And so would you and I. We cannot live without food, no matter how strong or smart or hardworking we are. We need food. We need bread, one of the most basic universal forms of food. And therefore, we need God. And we need to rid ourselves of the godless, humanistic entitlement mentality that says we deserve food, or that we earn it by our own two hands. We're entitled to it. We need to remember that all we deserve is death and judgment. We do not deserve life or to have our lives sustained by daily bread. We deserve God's justice, His wrath and curse. We deserve hell. That's what we have earned. The wages of sin is death. We do not deserve the food on our table or the roof over our head or the air that we breathe. These are all undeserved, gracious gifts of God. And the problem is we get so used to always having these things that we forget we are sinners. We forget that this is God's world, and we forget who these gifts come from. And we take them for granted, and we become proud and independent and man-centered. But Jesus would have us, with this petition, He would have us come back to reality. He would bring us back down to earth and put us in our place and remind us that we are mere men. We're frail. We're totally dependent. This crushes pride and teaches us that it is God who gives food. It teaches us to acknowledge our need for food and our need for God, just to exist. And so, brothers and sisters, pray this fourth petition and live in light of it. Ask God for food and live with humility, totally depending on Him, not depending on yourself. But this petition, I think, also calls us second this morning to live with faith. Live by faith. Look at verse 11 once again. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is teaching you to look to the Father for that which is necessary for life each coming day, each new day. And He speaks of daily bread, and bread is emblematic of all our basic daily physical needs. Jesus knows that we are not disembodied spirits. We are whole persons. We have a soul as well as a body. We have spiritual needs as well as physical needs. And it's not unspiritual to ask for bread. That is, in fact, an act of faith. It's the atheist who lives as though he doesn't need God each day, who feeds the body and then denies the Creator and the giver of food. Jesus also teaches us here that prayer ought to be regular and repeated. We ought to be praying daily because we have new needs each day. He went on to teach us, and we read this, not to be anxious for the next day, but to pray and to trust God. And notice, He doesn't teach us here in the fourth petition to ask for extravagance, or to ask for a week's supply of bread, or a year's supply of bread, but for daily bread. And the implication is that Jesus expects us to be praying each day and looking to God in faith each new day for what we need. Jesus wants us to live and walk by faith one day at a time. Now, this doesn't mean we don't work hard and we don't plan ahead. Certainly the Bible calls us to wisdom, to diligence. It shows that there are times of famine that we should prepare for. It says, "He who is not willing to work does not eat." But we must never trust ourselves or our means, the means that God uses. We must rely on and depend on God. the independent, self-made spirit that is still alive and well runs counter to this. And it's really not a virtue or a strength. Real strength is acknowledging our humanity and our weakness and our need for God and casting ourselves upon His care each new day in humble dependence on Him, seeking to live with all our might by faith, not by our own strength or on our own, but by His. Jesus also teaches us here, I think, that there's not a sharp, sacred, secular divide, as though our work in the world each day has little to do with God. It has everything to do with God. We live each day by faith in Him. We pursue bread by faith in Him, no matter our particular calling in the world. We do so not in our own strength or just to sustain physical life as though it was somehow detached from our Father or from our relationship to Him. No, all of life, every day, is to be lived by faith in the Father, looking to Him for all we are and all we need, even for daily bread, as it is a gracious gift from Him. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning, and I want you to actually think seriously about it. When was the last time you went one day without food? Not because you were fasting or because you were sick, but because there was no food or no money. You wanted food, you needed it, but you couldn't get it. When was the last time that happened? I'm guessing I should rephrase the question to, has that ever happened in your life? My guess is that most of you have never experienced that by God's grace. And yet many people, even today, and certainly throughout the history of the world, many people have. But brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you to not wait until that happens to live by faith daily, to look to the Lord daily for your earthly needs. Wait upon God. Wait upon your Father daily. Be humble and grateful daily. Don't wait until you have to stand in a bread line to appreciate the bread that your Father gives you. Live by faith in Him. I've always thought that affluent Americans should go on a short backpacking trip or a trip each year to a poor third world country, in part just to be reminded of the reality that God supplies our every need every day. When you're in the backcountry or where there's little bread or access to food or water, it forces you to think very carefully and very often every day about simple physical needs, about food and water and warmth. And it's a reminder of how frail and dependent and human we are. Without these things, we're miserable. We can't survive. It reminds us of all the ways God daily meets our needs that we forget about and we begin to take for granted. But children of God, you will never grow up or grow out of needing daily food and having daily physical needs. Never will you cease to need daily the care of your Father. And so live each day by humble faith in Him, trusting Him for all that you need. And then third and finally, this morning, praying for daily bread also must drive us to gratitude. Gratitude, thankfulness. If daily receiving food from your Father doesn't cause us to be thankful, then we are out of touch with reality. We have little idea of all that God blesses us with and lavishes on us. And ingratitude is a sign of pride and unbelief. Gratitude should be a part of everyday life, because if God gives us life and gives us breath and gives us bread, we have reason to be thankful. We have reason to praise Him and have grateful hearts. Here we have a tangible sign of His goodness and His grace and His care and His answering prayer, even if many times we haven't even prayed for bread for that day. Children, every time you sit down and eat, my guess is that it's because you have a father or a mother or someone who cares for you and loves you and wants to be there to meet your needs. They're concerned for you and they seek to meet your needs. Well, when we receive daily bread, it's because we have a Father in heaven who loves us and cares for us and provides what we need. And times when He doesn't give what we think we need, it's because He knows better. He knows what's best. He knows what we really need. Friends, are you grateful for how God meets your needs and gives you bread? Or has that become so common and so expected, so routine, that you don't ask Him for it and you don't thank Him for it? Or maybe you've begun to think that you're the one to thank, that it's your hard work that has put bread on your table. Friends, pray for bread and then be grateful when God gives that bread. And let your gratitude also foster contentment and happiness with the bread that God chooses to give you. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9 says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God." We need to be content with what God has seen to provide us with the ways in which He answers this prayer for our daily bread. Gratitude for our bread must also foster compassion and care for others. Remember the plurals in this prayer. We talked about this several weeks ago. But do you remember all the plurals in this prayer? It's not "give me my bread." It's "give us our daily bread." We ask for bread together. Together we have this daily need, and we call upon God to feed us. We ask for bread for our neighbors as well. This is why Luther, as he commented on the Lord's Prayer, said that this petition involved praying for a just and peaceful society, as well as good government. This involves praying for all that's involved in a flourishing economy. Jesus would rid us of our prideful and ungrateful self-focus in this entire prayer, and especially in this petition. If God provides you with bread, do you want that for others? Do you share that with others? Will you? It was graciously given to you in the first place. Will you be gracious and give as you are able? Now, of course, this doesn't mean shared wealth, communism, socialism. The Bible teaches neither of those. But it does teach care and compassion and hospitality for others, starting with our families and then the family of God and then our neighbors. Jesus says in Matthew 25 that in the judgment, He is going to say to the righteous, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me." And then the righteous will answer Him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you? Or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Compassionate care for those in need is a way in which we express love and gratitude for Christ. And it's also one way that God answers this prayer. It's a way to live by faith in Him. In fact, James said in James 2, verse 14 and following, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Brothers and sisters, don't have a dead faith. Have a grateful, living faith, expressing contentment and care for others, working itself out in love for others as God has graciously cared for you. This prayer calls you to gratitude, and it calls you to care about others' daily needs as well. Well, asking your Father for daily bread, as we've seen together briefly this morning, calls you to many things, but we've focused on how it calls us to humility, to faith, and to gratitude. It calls us to look to our Father daily for all of our needs. But it also calls you, as we close this morning, to look to your Father for your greatest need. Look to your Father for spiritual bread, for bread from heaven. We need to be reminded this morning, brothers and sisters, that our souls need food as well. Our souls need life as well as our bodies. We need salvation. We need eternal life. And the good news is that the Father has sent bread from heaven. He has sent Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Jesus said in John 6, I am the bread of life. He said in Matthew 5, we read this earlier, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are satisfied, will be filled, will be blessed. Dear friends, your daily need for bread ought to be a constant reminder of your greatest need for the bread that comes from heaven, the bread that gives eternal life, for Jesus Christ. To live without Him, to live without this bread, is no more possible than to live without earthly bread. And so when you ask God for daily bread, ask Him to feed you Christ spiritually as well. Thank Him for eternal life from the bread of life. And if you do not know this bread of life, if you have never tasted Him by faith, then ask God to give you bread from heaven. Ask for this bread of life. Ask for faith in Him. Look to Jesus Christ for eternal life. That life is something you need far more than physical life each day. Look to Him for the forgiveness of sins. Look to Him to give you spiritual life now and forever. I don't know how much food each of you needs each day to live. And I don't know what your favorite foods are either. But I do know that all of you, myself included, need this bread, the bread of life, the bread from heaven. Jesus said the bread from heaven was His flesh, His body, given for sinners, broken for them on the cross, so that they might have not just one more day of physical life, but that they might have eternal life. And so, friends, hunger for Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to this bread. Hunger for the righteousness of God, the Word of God, and feast on Christ by faith, and know the gift of eternal life, and you will be satisfied in a way that no other bread can satisfy. Friends, look to your Father daily for all your needs, body and soul, and praise and thank Him for daily bread and for the greatest gift of all, bread from heaven, the bread of life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Jesus teaching us how to call upon You as our Father in heaven and teaching us of what we need and how we need to relate to You, of humbling us and calling us to faith and to gratitude. And Father, we do ask that you would give us this day our daily bread, meet our needs, our basic needs for food and for physical life. But even as we ask for that, we know that we have even deeper needs. We have needs to turn from our sins. We have need of faith in you. We have the greatest need of a Savior whom you have provided in Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And so I pray that each one here would taste him and hunger and thirst for him and feed upon him by faith, that we might have eternal life. Father, help us to hunger for your word. We know that we do not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from your mouth. And so, Lord, please press this word deep down into our hearts and let us receive it with faith. And we pray that it would bear fruit in our lives, that your name might be hallowed and that your kingdom would come. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.